The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how we doing out there?
I know you're doing good.
Great Monday morning. Beautiful Monday morning.
I believe doing well is the proper way of saying that in English, but doing good, too. Congratulations to Kelly, everybody, on a couple wins we'll get into, not only basketball, but golf as well. And thank you for listening this morning. Lots to talk about. Obviously, OKC, your NBA champions, we'll get into that momentarily. We will talk about the golf tournament yesterday, the Travelers. We'll look ahead to Paul Sporer on baseball. Wes Reynolds, Pacers fan, will join us.
He won on Keegan, too.
And he won on Keegan,
so
too.
So we did have the nice text exchange after golf, pre-basketball, where it was like, hey, that was nice. Now we will not text each other again for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, we'll get Wes's state of mind. And then a little later on, NBA draft, now that the NBA season is behind us, NBA draft in two nights, Wednesday night. Rafael Barlow from the NBA Big Board will join us to talk about his thoughts on the NBA draft. Rafael is not a bettor necessarily, but he is a draftnik.
I'm pumped to talk to him. He's heading to New York tomorrow. I know this was his last chance for us to get him on video, but he did offer to do it on the phone from New York at the draft. But yeah, this is, as I was talking to you, Rafael's not the biggest bettor. He doesn't even know. I don't even know how much of the NBA playoffs he might have watched. He focuses on the draft all year round.
That's
so we got
does.
Great some draft betting questions for the man. That's
okay.
For sure.
All right, so we'll get into that. Obviously, we start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Congratulations to anybody who had Oklahoma City, any which way, whether you had them sometime during the season to win the NBA title, whether you had them before this series. Whether you had him against the spread yesterday. If you had him against the spread yesterday, maybe tamper down the chirping on that one.
Man, we closed 6.5. Wow.
Closed 6.5 on this. OKC ends up winning by 12 in a game that, listen, while I congratulate everybody who has OKC, if you had SGA winning MVP, SGA becomes only the fourth player ever to win regular season MVP, NBA Finals MVP, and become an NBA champion, along with, these are the three names he's with now. You ready for this? Michael Jordan, Shaq, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, pretty good company right there.
Yep.
For SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, also the first player since LeBron, by the way, in 2013, just to win both regular season MVP and finals MVP. But obviously, while we congratulate OKC, we can hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time, which is it also kind of sucks. Because obviously the game marred by Tyrese Haliburton at the 4:55 mark of the first quarter, 4:55 left in the first. With OKC up 18-16, he falls and pops his Achilles tendon. Kelly, I didn't have the broadcast audio on. Do they not mention the word Achilles again?
Not for a while.
Like Voldemort?
Not for a while. Like Voldemort? Yeah. Not for a while. I think Richard Jefferson was the first person I heard to bring it up.
I don't know why they've decided that that's like, you can't say the word. Can't say it. It's so clear that that's what it was.
And
it
just, yeah.
By the way, I got a lot of tweets yesterday when it happened where a lot of people were like, you called it. I didn't call it. What I said was before game six, what I said was the Pacers are in this awful situation, which is now they've got to worry about the worst case scenario, which is not only might they not win the NBA championship, but God forbid Haliburton pops his Achilles. He had the calf injury, right? And if that's the case, you literally do it, you know, midway point of June. And so then you're absolutely out for next season. And it happened. Didn't call it. I also didn't call, you know, in addition to that, Kelly, I also didn't call the fact that I was calling for him not to play. It's game
Correct.
Six.
Yeah, you did.
It's
yeah.
game six and game seven of the NBA Finals. If he, being the athlete that he is and the highly competitive top pro that he is, if he wants to play and he feels he can play, you got to let him play. You're not going to tell him no.
The only thing you and I were kind of split on was heading into game six, whether we thought he would or wouldn't go, not whether he should or shouldn't
right.
go.
That, Correct.
That's for sure. The one thing I guess that I want to ask you about this, because you are the Achilles master, man, it's just, I feel like we're seeing more of the lower leg calf tightness, and then it goes. Like, they've been battling through this, and then it goes. When this used to feel like more of a freak injury out of nowhere.
So it was for me twice.
That's how it was for you twice.
No warning.
But, like, do you feel like that? I mean, after Duran, after this, that it's just we're seeing more of that. Now, like, you see calf strain, and I'm like, oh, boy, like...
Listen, there's a lot of doctors that have theories on this. I don't know what the story is. The one thing that I did hear that I absolutely disagree with is that the NBA, which is already, you know, the load management league. I don't want to hear people say, oh, they need more load management now. No, it's the opposite with Achilles. Like, I really do think that. I don't think it's wear and tear. If anything... I don't think that's the solution, but I'm not a doctor. I've just had a couple pop. And so I don't know what the theory is, but we've had now Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Halliburton, all who wear the number zero, by the way, their Achilles in this postseason. That's not to mention other injuries that we've had, obviously, right? Garland, Mobley, and Hunter with the Cavs. Who missed games. Garland missed multiple games. Mobley and Hunter missed at least one for the Cavs against the Pacers. Curry's hamstring against the Rockets, which effectively ended that series. So, I mean, that's the other thing about this NBA playoffs, marred by just carnage.
It's another thing that feels like it's becoming... First of all, I think there's really back to the Achilles real quick. I think what we talk about in the NFL, too, it's just, I think a large part of this stuff is just... These guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger every single year, every single decade, and that leads to so many of these weird injuries. I think that's part of it. But it's become such a thing in the NBA, like not just this year, of like you have to be good and you have to be one of the few healthy teams that makes it to the finish line. Because so many teams every year run into some horrible injury problem in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Oklahoma City again. 84 wins, tied for the third most regular season and postseason in the history of the NBA. They also put together, do we have Ben Fox's tweet up here, by the way, our old buddy Ben Fox? Also against the spread, what an epic season for OKC. They end up winning 64 of those 84 games, Kelly, by 10-plus points. 64 of the 84 by double digits they end up winning, including last night, by the way. OKC, 66-35-4 against the spread, playoffs and regular season. My goodness, 65.3% cover rate. And then there's Indiana, and again, one of the big what-ifs. What if Halliburton had played? We'll never know. We could speculate, but we'll never know. Maybe OKC still wins going away. Maybe they only win by a bucket at the end. Maybe Indiana wins it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know. But Indiana, five games this postseason in which they had comebacks of 15 points or more, and obviously the four games, one each series, where they did so with a right around a 2% win probability. So what could have been had they just closed it out, but then the Halliburton injury in the first quarter yesterday, and we will never know. By the way, here, underdog NBA, most wins in a single season in NBA history, what I was just alluding to, Thunder's 84, only the 73-win Warriors and the 72-win Bulls had more wins. Regular season totals, obviously, what I was just referring to. So it's just epic in any way. And again, the other thing about the game yesterday, it was still competitive, right? 56-56 into the third quarter, 56-56. Here's another one. Players in NBA history to win a scoring title and championship in the same season. Shea, Shaq, Jordan, Jabbar, and George Mikan add to that list. I mentioned it with an NBA Finals MVP. Take Mikan off that list, and that's the list.
Jordan six times.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I don't know if you ever had a chance to watch him play or anything.
Six times.
By the way, in Jordan's day, he played 82 games basically every year. Man. There were no such catastrophic injuries, right? Where was I getting at with this? I can't remember. Oh, it was 56-56 into the third quarter. That's when the 9-0 run happened for OKC. Three straight three-pointers from Shea, from Holmgren, from Williams. That was the turnover fest that started it. Indiana went over a quarter's length of time. And this is probably all you need to know besides the injury. From 8:32 of the third quarter to 7:29 of the fourth quarter. 7:29 left. So that's what, a quarter and over a minute. One quarter, so 13 minutes and 2 seconds. Only T.J. McConnell scored for the Pacers.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Pacers got it as close as 10 minutes. By the way, the biggest lead of the game was 22, 90-68. The Pacers got it as close to 10, so the spread was in jeopardy for a spell there. But OKC wins it 103-91, and there you go.
There was a just going back to one of my personal betting themes of this NBA Finals, because it only makes me laugh, and I have a feeling he's going to end up being one of my like favorite players in the league. Did you feel the slight Benedict Mathurin vibes at the end of like he's going to get this within the number, at least within our 8.5? Like he's right there. Yeah. I knew, and as soon as he did that drive to the basket right away, there was nobody quitting scoring out there like Benedict Mathurin. He was not going to go down without firing some shots. I thought for a brief second he might just get us within that 8.5.
Yeah, I feel like he'll have a pretty fascinating NBA career.
Oh, he's got early J.R. Smith written all over him.
I didn't want to say, I was like, great moments interspersed with other things.
I love those type of players. Give me something exciting to watch, man. What a game. Yeah, I mean, you put it perfectly. It sucked. I mean, even someone with Thunder tickets, right? You see Haliburton go down. It's just... We talk about this being how many NBA Finals have gone to seven games? How many?
That was only the 20th.
It was only the 20th. We've had 20 of those, and you get to that, and that happens. It stinks. Even with someone with Thunder money, it's not the way that I wanted to see that game go down. And honestly though, Gil, I was texting multiple people at halftime. I'm like, I'm still terrified that this is not over. Like, this Pacers team.
Felt like OKC almost had, like, a human letdown after the injury for a spell also, yeah. Anyway, again, congratulations to OKC fans, OKC bettors. And what's that? Since 2018 now, we've had a different NBA champion every year.
Mm-hmm.
2017, I believe.
Yep.
So we'll get into the odds for next year. What does this mean for the Bucks with all these injuries in the East? Going to keep Giannis now? And a big trade in the NBA yesterday. We'll break it down. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's our Visa Pro Early Bird Special. Don't forget, full Visa Pro access until the Super Bowl. $175 United States dollars. Hell of a deal. NFL betting guide, which drops, what's that now, in 8 days, July the 1st. Kelly, I got some homework to do. When's the deadline?
Oh, you still do? Come on, Gil.
When is it, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
All right. Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to the Visa Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools. Check it all out. Visa.com/subscribe. Full Visa Pro access until the Super Bowl for just $175.
I'm pumped. I took like 5 hours out of my Saturday and did some serious NFL digging and diving, and fired on some bets, wrote them up for the guide, ready to talk about them, man.
These are some sample tweets from yesterday that we got here. Philly boy LV says, we know it every time, we've been saying it for years, once you've had it happen you can tell instantly, talking about people who have had their Achilles pump. Plush Revolution. Gil, you explicitly warned against this. Write this out. This is like your JJ Spawn. It's like your JJ Spawn. JJ Spawn is legit. Thurston Lawrence is not. And then we got like 5 tweets the next Monday. Thanks for JJ Spawn. Kev William. When Gil says Achilles, you listen.
God, you could see it. The replay was so gross. Like
You know what? I didn't even need to see it. I just saw him when he pounded the floor. When he was laying down and they were running the ball up court, I immediately, I'm like, oh no.
So I thought it then. Then they showed the slow-mo and you were like, oh God, I could see it. Like I had to get off the couch and walk around for a while. It's gross.
Derek, you called it the other day. Topher Perrin, did you not call this unbelievable? Anyway, on and on and on. Let's get to the good stuff. We'll get to golf here momentarily. Teasers and parlays. Shout out to Kelly with the outright call on Keegan Bradley. Now, that was a call. Between Game 7 and Kelly's outright, A&G is going to be off the hook.
It was a good Sunday. But, Gil, we had a odd conversation outside the studio probably like 2 months ago about the betting gods and how they giveth and taketh.
Yeah.
Of course, I got my butt kicked at the casino on Saturday night.
Of course you did.
So Sunday, you win it some back, you know?
James Sott, I knew Kelly's going to be super hyped to talk about his girl, Marketa Vondrasova, winning Berlin yesterday and won't even comment on the NBA Finals at all. Marketa Vondrasova has found her grass game again. Uh-oh. She won Wimbledon a couple years ago after only having won 2 matches on grass her entire life. Then she wins a slam, and she wins a grass court tournament in Berlin.
My girl with the tats.
He likes the tats, girl. Tats with an A. John Baldusi, I had Keegs. That's how we call Keegan Bradley, by the way.
Keegs
winner without. I also had OKC first quarter minus 3.5, landed 3 via missed free throw. And SGA plus 30 points, landed 29. Sports betting, what are we doing? And then there's more, which I'll read. Super jerk, not an NBA fan. Eric Biggio, not an NBA fan, we're learning today via tweets. Okay.
I guess that means they've been checking out for a lot of segments over the past couple months.
I guess so. Next year, regular season MVP. Shea, your reigning MVP. Jokic 2-1, Shea plus 250, Giannis 7-1, Luka 8-1, Ant 10-1. Wow. Wembanyama 18-1.
Okay.
Anything there?
I had not even looked at these yet.
No, just throw them out there. Or you can comment on this. Champion. Luka. How about NBA champion? Oklahoma City plus 230. The Houston Rockets, which we'll get to momentarily. Houston Rockets plus 750. Cleveland 8-1, or is that plus 850? Plus 850, pardon me. Knicks plus 850. Everybody else double digits. So Thunder, Rockets, Cavs, and Knicks. Fascinating. Here's the story yesterday. The Kevin Durant trade.
Yeah, let's hit that, then we can talk odds here. Yeah.
So the reason the Rockets are where they are is the Kevin Durant trade. Here's the Kevin Durant trade. It finally happened. Rockets get KD, a 36-year-old who will be 37 when next season begins. And the Suns receive Jalen Green, their leading scorer, the Rockets' leading scorer this past year with 21 points a game, young Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, prickly Dylan Brooks in the deal as well. And then the 10th overall pick in this year's draft, the 59th overall pick in this year's draft, and then 4 second rounders in future years, beginning with 2 next year. Okay. It was interesting hearing the speculation after this trade yesterday. And what I mean by speculation is the Twitter opinions. Because if you searched Rockets fleeced and then Suns fleeced, you pretty much got a torrent of things from both sides. So, you know, I think what I'm interested in here is the Suns side of it is not the interesting part to me, because Matt Ishbia gives me Daniel Snyder vibes, meaning that they are a wayward ship.
Oh, he's the worst.
Right. So, by the way, they both have like sort of, they earn their billions in sort of a scammy fashion also.
Oh, check out that Pablo Toria episode if you haven't.
So, anyway, the point is that the Suns, you know, people are like, oh, the Suns should have gotten way more. What did you think they were getting? Dream Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler? Like, what did you think they were getting? Did you think they were getting Sengun also here? You're trading for a guy who's going to be 37. You're not going to, I mean, the fact that you got Jalen Green, who, again, even if you were like a Jalen Green detractor, he's still a young guy who could be a fringe all-star for some years, maybe even a legit, like, we don't know, right, is the point. So, and you get the 10th pick in the draft, which I know is not like the highest lottery pick, but still. So the Suns side is not as interesting to me as the Rocket side, which is, okay, here's what the Rockets did last year. They were the number 2 seed in the West, the packed Western Conference, and they ended up in the conference semifinals. Yes, Curry got hurt in the opening round, but who knows? Maybe they get by the Warriors anyway. They ended up in the conference semis. So the question for me is this. If you're the Rockets, in trading a young asset like Jalen Green, did you make it so that you will also be either at, you know, either get to the number 2 seed again this year or better? Did you make it so that you will absolutely get to the conference finals? In other words, exceed what you did this past year? And did you put yourself in the very small group of teams in a conversation of winning an NBA championship in the next 2 seasons? Because again, remember, after that, Durant's 40. So what are we really talking about here? And my answer to that question, Kelly, is, will you be a number 2 seed or better? Maybe. Will you get to the conference finals? Maybe. Will you win a championship the next 2 years? Doubtful, you know, still. So to me, everybody's saying who, like, the Suns got fleeced. I kind of, in the end, go with the opinion that this is about right. It's about right. The Suns got just enough to make it worth their while, and the Rockets needed to make a move. They had to make a move to get a score, because obviously that was their thing. They needed a reliable score, yes, which Green at his age was not.
Jalen Green is not. That, I think that is important to establish. Yep.
So I get it, but like, I think the people who are saying, oh, one side destroyed the other, like, I think that is just not true.
So it was funny because this all goes down. I get a million text messages. Yeah. Like you said, I could not believe the divide on them.
Amazing.
And then like this was me with Oakmont last week. This is me like whenever politics come up too. I'm like, somehow I'm down the middle. I was like, I saw this come across. I'm like, that sounds about right. Sounds about right to me. I mean, this was. First of all, if you don't...
You're the only politics person in this country that has that reaction. Yeah. Kelly's like, yeah, that sounds about a good reaction.
Sounds about right. I think what's tough, like, okay, first of all, if you're the Suns, I could sit here and me and you could argue about Jalen Green. I was very excited about him coming out. He is still very young. He's shown glimpses of the quality scorer and quality player that he can be. But I'm very glad you brought it up because I think last year was his real time to say, hey, if you're going to be a big-time player in this league, you're surrounded by great players on this Rockets team, time for you to take a big step forward. And he didn't really, and the lack of consistency is troublesome when they relied on him so much to be a scorer.
But you would concede he's young enough that you don't know.
However, coming back for the Phoenix side, you'll gladly take that because he's young enough that you don't know what he could turn into.
Of course.
And my God, if you saw what some of the reports were for the other trade offers that were on the team. I mean, first of all, it sounds like it was down between the Rockets and the Heat, and that's where they got to. I saw reports yesterday of the Heat, what they were not willing to offer. And it was like, well, what are the Suns getting? Andrew Wiggins and like a couple second round picks? Yeah. Like it was gross compared to what the Suns ended up getting from the Rockets. So I know it might be tough as a Suns fan out there, Zach Cohen, to know that like you're losing Kevin Durant. I think this was about as best as you were going to get back.
Yeah.
Now, to switch to the Rockets side of the conversation, there's one other thing I kept thinking about all day yesterday. I agree with you. This doesn't put them in a tier by themselves above everyone else, right? And Kevin Durant is older. But this team is still based around such young quality pieces. Alperen Şengün and Men Thompson are the future of this team. What they saw with now was that the ability to go get a Kevin Durant to put them in that mix of win now. And how many teams do you think were watching the NBA Finals and said, you know what? That team that looked unstoppable during the regular season, we can beat them. The Pacers can take them to 7 games. We can beat them if we have the right pieces. I'm wondering how much that factored into some thinking over this time.
Yeah, I'll still take the Thunder and Nuggets over the Rockets in the West. I also think if KD was really serious about winning a championship, he just would have gone back to Golden State. I really do. Be like, well, Steph, let's go out together. Let's make a run.
Well, that's almost more curious thing, right? What else happened with Durant around the All-Star break trade? Or around the trade deadline?
Anyway, that's why Houston is your second shot to win the title based on that trade yesterday, which I do not agree with. Golf! Kelly takes a victory lap next. What a tournament this turned out to be. Intrigue in many directions. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
PropheticX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. PropheticX, a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download PropheticX today with code VSiN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm telling you right now, me to you, check it out, PropheticX. You'll thank me later. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Before we move on to golf, you wanted to say one other thing about Durant and Toronto?
I kind of want to say something about PropheticX, dude.
Oh, please.
It's great. You have to check it out, no matter what state you live in that you have access to this. But however, Gil, especially in these states where there are limited outs. Like, you have to take advantage of this stuff. I know some of the exchange and some of the lottery format stuff might be confusing at first to people. It might not be the first thing. You have to have more than one out or two outs. Like, you cannot be betting at one or two places.
That's right. It's nice. What's also nice about Profit is that it looks like a sports book too.
Yes.
So it will not be unfamiliar to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some people struggling that with Kalshi and some of that stuff right now. I think the other important thing about Durant, right? Still 1 year left on the contract. So like, there was JVT, Zach, and I were kicking around like, what are the Toronto reported offers in this? And it was pretty dang light. But Durant had told Toronto, I'm not re-signing with you guys. So there's all that that's in the air too. I haven't seen any reports with that as far as the Rockets. I would assume since he was on their shortlist that he would be willing to re-sign. But even if you're given a year to try to court the guy, right? That's very different than Durant flat out telling your team, no, I'm not re-signing after next year. So it also kind of limits some of the teams from that standpoint as well.
Back to the injuries, by the way. Buck's got to do everything to keep Giannis now, right?
It's a great point. I hadn't really thought about that last night until you just said it, right? You're like, yeah, man, like it's so sad to say it that way, but like the Bucks with Giannis are way more alive than they were a few months ago.
Because what, Cleveland and New York are now your top dogs in the East with the injuries, the Tatum and Haliburton.
I mean, Tatum and Haliburton injuries are going to severely affect that top of that Eastern Conference. It's also, I mean, not that they could have seen it coming, but I thought one of the teams that had gotten mentioned a little bit more towards the end with the Durant sweepstakes, the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're right there, and how much does Detroit basketball, would they love to be right back in the top of things? And they're just like one move like that away, and they have the ammunition to make a move like that.
What a chasm between conferences next year.
Oh, it's wild. It is insane.
To golf, the Travelers. Congratulations, Kelly Billing. Congratulations, Dave Ross, by the books. Everybody who had Keegan Bradley preflop, what number did you get him at?
38 to 1 here at Circa.
38 to 1. Keegan Bradley with a one-stroke victory over Tommy Fleetwood and Russell Henley, which we'll get to momentarily. For those who missed it, Keegan bogeys 14. He had an easy approach shot. He botched it. Fleetwood had a six-footer for birdie on 14. Could have put Keegan away. Instead, he missed it on the low side. So he's up three after 14. Four holes to play. Could have put him away. He's up three still. Up three still. What could go wrong? 15th hole. Fleetwood, despite a bad drive, he saves par. Keegan sinks a 36-footer. So he's down two. 16th hole, par three. Keegan pars. Fleetwood bogeys. Fleetwood's only up one. 17th, they both par. They go to 18. Both drives in the fairway. Again, Keegan down one here. Fleetwood goes first, leaving his approach short and left. Bradley follows with the gut punch approach shot to 5 feet. And what happens is that Fleetwood not only came up 6 feet short with his birdie effort then, he left it just short of Bradley's mark, eventually showing him the line. It's just double jeopardy.
Yeah, for real.
Fleetwood misses, suddenly putting his chances of just forcing a playoff in danger. Bradley ends any hope of that with a middle-of-the-cup birdie conversion. Picks up his eighth career PGA Tour victory. And now Tommy Fleetwood, ladies and gentlemen, who has won multiple times in Europe, becomes the guy with the most. He still is now. He just increases this. He has the most top 10 finishes in the U.S. without a win on the PGA Tour. 42 top 10 finishes without a win.
That's a 42
where you're doing something 2 through 10. Oh, my God. And so congratulations. Fleetwood gacks it, and Keegan Bradley in front of a northeastern crowd, which is where he's from, generally speaking. They acted like it was a Ryder Cup. I don't know how that broke out in the middle of this. He's chest bumping his caddy. I'm like, what is going on? The other part of this...
Well, you had the captain and one of the best European players seemingly going head-to-head at the end,
well,
right?
Well, so this is interesting because now Keegan Bradley, who has never competed in a Ryder Cup, he's the captain this year. He just wanted to be captain.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has to consider playing now.
It is beyond. I make fun of Dave Ross all the time because he can talk Ryder Cup every single day of the year for 2 years in between.
Yeah.
This is going to become a fascinating conversation because after that win... He's right up there in the rankings to be considered anyways as a captain's pick. I have a feeling the top guys on that team are going to make him pick himself. Like, he wants to stay out of that, I think, unless he played his way in. But he's right on the doorstep, and I think as a captain's pick that the rest of the team's going to make him pick himself.
The other person here, I mentioned Russell Henley finished one stroke back.
That would have been a lot nicer, by the way. I'd really hate to complain about an outright winner, but Henley getting home would have been a lot nicer.
What would Henley have been for you?
He was 40-1, but I had almost double the money on that I had on Keegan. I was very, very bullish on Russell Henley last week.
Eighth hole Friday. Henley calls a stroke penalty on himself.
Yeah.
No one was watching.
Nope. Was there any cameras on it, Gil?
His playing partner wasn't running. There was no cameras on it. His son saw it, though, apparently. And so Russell Henley calls a stroke penalty on himself because he says on his approach shot to the green, the ball, he was in the rough. The ball moved what he called by a dimple. Ball moved a dimple on his backswing, and he still hits it. And he hits it on the green 3 feet away from the pin. But he calls a stroke penalty on himself. What was your comment at that point, Kelly? What did you say?
Oh, I'm sure that one won't come back to matter.
Fast forward to the 18th hole on Sunday, and Henley chips in for birdie. And so there was a point there where it looked like Russell Henley could get into a playoff. Didn't happen. But with that call, he had a third round 61, by the way, in between, should be pointed out, which got him up into this position. He was in a tie for second with Bradley behind Fleetwood after three rounds. But anyway, so he ends up one stroke back. This ends up costing him. So the runner up, if you were the runner up outright, you would have made 2.16. Because he's T2, he makes 1.76. So he already cost himself $400,000. By the way, I'm just using the phrase cost himself. We'll get to the other part. But he makes $400,000 less. And if it had gone to a playoff and he had won, he would have cost himself $1.84 million in the wash.
Yeah. It is.
Honor, Kelly. Honor has a place in this sport. Good for him, right? Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's how the game's supposed to be played, right? It's if
self-policing.
It's if tennis had to be played without any officials out there, and they had to call whether the ball's in and ball's out.
Oh my God, it happens all the time where they're arguing about calls.
Yeah. I mean, it's painful as a bettor. It's painful, and of course, that was my classic free throw missed field goal line. Right? I'm sure that one won't come back to matter in the end, but like. The thing I got to give him credit for the most, Gil, when he was asked about it, I think it was on Saturday when I first heard him speak about it, it was no hesitation answer from him.
No.
He's like, this is how the game's played.
Yep.
And my son got to see it. Well, and it was a learning lesson for my son.
If his son wasn't there, it probably doesn't happen. But his son was there.
Maybe.
Yeah, son was there.
That was his snap answer, and I was like, "Well, it's hard not to respect that answer when he thinks he's gonna make his son a better man for doing something like that.
He will,
and he probably will.
Yeah,
but oh boy, Russ, just let it go next time, man. Just let it go.
Sure, there's a lot of sympathetic bettors who had a ticket on Russell Henley who feel a little differently about it.
Which the other part of it, if his son wasn't there, also how much is in his mind is, I didn't see it, by the way. Again, there was no cameras on this, so I didn't see this.
No, you were just going on his word. But moved
how,
a dimple.
How much in his mind, too, is like, there might be a camera on me, so I gotta call it, right? Like, like, do you think he was angry afterward when he figured out that there was no cameras or video footage of this at all?
Listen, good for him.
Good for him. The other one that's I hate to complain about winners. Sorry, this was one of my better golf tournaments of the year. It was great to get back on track. Top fives on Henley get home, on Keegan get home. Bet those had biggest bet of the tournament I had was a top 20 on Tommy Fleetwood. Those all get home. It was a great tournament. We had some bad ones go the other way. Sepp Straka, see, I might need a break for a while. Tommy Fleetwood, though, I had in my one-and-done pool. Like, I have a pretty big one-and-done pool.
That's brutal.
I had four outright winners in already, and with him winning yesterday, I would have been top 10 in, like, real money online. So that would hurt. That would hurt me, but whatever.
It's never all good, is it?
It's never all good.
We'll come back. Baseball. Paul Sporer on the other side. And how about that college baseball final, too? Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We get tweets of beating the book. Y'all are the best. Seriously, best listeners in the game. Pick 10. You ready for this? East opening up for the Sixers, 12-1 on FanDuel. Don't do it, Pick 10. I'm begging you. Please don't do it. But I get it. It's certainly opening. I agree with that statement.
No, I mean, there's...
Whether you can walk through it is a different story.
I think there's 8-9 teams in the East you can make an argument for.
Let's go, Wizards. Okay, maybe not you.
Not one of the 9.
Maybe not you. Table Max, friendly PSA, keep the cocktails to a minimum when line shopping. A month ago, I found a good number on OKC to win it all this year, only to open my app this morning and find out that I got a crap number for them to win next year.
Oh my God,
that's... Now, who amongst us hasn't been there before?
I did not think that's where that tweet was going. Oh, man.
Maybe not for a season long, but there have been other things where I've been like, oh, that was for tomorrow. Oh, sorry. But that's a brutal one.
Oh, I am sorry, man.
C. Spackler, not a fan of the NBA. When is the pickleball segment, he said?
Sometimes if a line looks too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
Let's see. Scotty B726. He was a Pacers, he's a Pacers fan, and I think he's finally gotten through it. He's come to terms. He said, when will we see the Rockets' inflated season win total? Suns did great. What's KD's over-under for games played this coming year? Wow. Cowboys_Cubs1, primetime. Yo. Hey, man. When Halliburton went down, it was obvious what had happened, and there was only one thing on the minds of a Numbers Game listeners. You're not going to need those tennis balls in your pocket, are you? Todd Wishnev's famous sympathetic words to me. After he carried me off the court with Mike Palm. Hey, I had tennis balls in my pocket. He goes, hey, can I get those tennis balls? Steve the Proxy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Victory Lap Hour with Kelly Bidlin. Looks like the M Resort cut back their donation jar a bit too early. Cheers to Kelly. Absolutely. Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Let's go. Round of applause. Good job, Thunder. Golf season's going well.
Did you want to repeat what you said off air about the golf tournament?
I owned that thing, Gil. I had that leaderboard circled. It was one of the most glorious golf tournaments of the year of my life. I didn't want to be that guy on air, but fine, I'll be that guy.
Good for you. By the way, it was again, the Halliburton injury put a damper on that on the NBA Finals Game 7 yesterday, and obviously the golf tournament was nuts. You see the College World Series?
Yeah.
LSU, congratulations if you had LSU winning it. They win it 2-0 over Coastal Carolina, which had previously won 26 games in a row. They win it on a 1-0 gem on Saturday. And then yesterday, that game was marred when their manager, Coastal Carolina's manager, or head coach as they call it, Kevin Schnall, tossed along with assistant Matt Schilling by Angel Campos, the umpire, in the first inning. It's like, yeah, you got to go. You're cursing and you're arguing balls and strikes. Like, what are we doing? You're robbing this guy of this thing for the rest of his life, that he's not going to be present. Because he cursed a little? You sure make it about you, umpire. Let's talk some MLB. Paul Sporer joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from Austin, Texas. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. And, of course, he's at FanGraphs, Sleeper in the Bus podcast, wearing always some interesting garb. What do you got on the – what's the sweatshirt, Paul? Good morning to you.
Good morning. This is for the Alamo Draft House, which is Texas-based but has spread across the country a bit. It's basically just those fancier theaters where they serve food, and it's just a better experience as far as I'm concerned.
Do you watch
peasants in the
and alcohol? Do they serve alcohol, Paul?
Yes. I don't drink, but yeah, food and alcohol. It's just it's like an upscale theater.
I kind of don't go to a movie theater anymore that I can't get a drink at. Once I experienced that for the first time ever, I was like, wow, this ruined every other movie theater.
An alcoholic beverage while watching Ocean Picture?
Yeah. Okay.
Paul, do you watch the College World Series, or are you strictly an MLB guy?
Yeah. No. I like College World Series. You know, I don't have a ton of bandwidth to like know all the great college players that are going to get drafted or anything. I kind of use the College World Series to catch up on some of the prospects. My bandwidth doesn't quite go that deep, but I definitely enjoy it. You know, my Longhorns had a rough one this year, but LSU, obviously a force, and Coastal Carolina's really c- come on as a program these last several years to where like people might not know, you know, who the hell are Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers, what's that? They're a real program in baseball. Real program.
First of all, Paul, it's Chanticleers. Let's get that straight.
Chanticleers, yes. My bad.
As we've all learned.
I was going to make a joke if that was why the coach got kicked out yesterday. Calling us by the wrong name.
Right. We're the Chanticleers. How dare you?
Paul, let me ask you, which is the most sustainable or which is the least sustainable of this? As we go to June, most wins, we have either 6 or 7 games left in the month of June for these ball clubs. The Houston Astros, who won June last year, by the way, 14-6, the leader here down the stretch, followed by the Rays at 13-7. Then you have the Brewers, Diamondbacks, and Red Sox all at 12-7. By the way, the Diamondbacks schedule, again, is the easiest of the bunch, but they lost a tough one yesterday when they gacked the lead. And then you have, by the way, the Orioles and Giants and Dodgers also have 12 wins, but with more losses. Our Tigers, who... Kelly and I both have pre-flop, are in the 11 group. They lost 2 of 3 to the Jays, effectively putting them behind the 8 ball, so to speak, for June.
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, not much of one. But let me ask you, Astros, Rays, Brewers, those top three teams, which is the realest moving forward past June? Like, of those three clubs... Because the Astros, I guess we had some sense of, because of the division they're in, that they were going to be successful in some way. The Rays and Brewers, a little more nebulous. Which of those three teams is the most sustainable beyond this month?
I'm a little torn on this trio here, because they all kind of have their own thing that gives me a little bit of pause. We don't know how things are going to go with Tampa Bay. Their big road trip, right? Like, their schedule is mapped out to avoid some of the rain of Florida. My Tigers just played them in their park there, and the rain, you know, the heavens will open up, but for like 20 minutes. In fact, I think yesterday with the ninth inning rain delay, when it was an 8-1 game, quite literally by the time they got the tarp finished, as far as rolling it out, the sun broke and they had to go take it off immediately. So like, how's that going to go when they start playing all these road games for Tampa Bay? Some of their pitchers could actually get better, because they got some home run issues on that rotation outside of Drew Rasmussen. All the other four guys have like a 1.5 homer nine or higher. Well, they're going to get out of Tampa Bay. So I'm not surprised that they've gone on a run here in June, and I think they could keep it up. I like this Rays team. The one I'm really intrigued by, though, is Houston. Is this pitching real? Because they have, you know, they've got an ace at the top in Fromber. And Brown, they have a 1-2 punch of righty-lefty aces. But then it's a ragtag group, but guys that have shown some real talent, Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter, and Ryan Gusto, if there's something there, I have a hard time quitting this Houston team. Remember last year, we had so much consternation early on about, are they finally collapsing? Is this the beginning of the end? And it wasn't. You mentioned their June surge last year. They didn't start as slow this year, but they started slow again, and they turned it on. Houston is a team I have a hard time quitting. And then with the Brewers, you know what I learned recently, Gil, that I had not been paying attention to? I've been treating their park, just from history, as a bit of a hitter's park.
Yes.
Because it generally can be. I can't remember if it's roof closed or roof open, but one of them completely changes the park. And I'm going to guess it's the roof closed, because I think it's the roof closed more often than not. This is a very big-time pitcher's park. And if you're wondering why the Brewers are able to get so many quality innings out of medium talents with their pitching, I'm starting to think that the ballpark factor, paired with the great defense, is the combo that they're working with there. So I have a hard time quitting them. So to answer the question, after talking about all three, I think the Astros are my number one, but then the Rays and Brewers are like right there. I have a hard time really separating this trio. I think all three should be in the playoff mix this year. I think all three should be buyers at the deadline as well.
Okay, NL Rookie of the Year, speaking of the Brewers, Jacob Mizorowski lost a bid for a perfect game in the 7th inning against the Twins Friday night. Before that, he had 5 innings of no-hit ball. He's already 2-1 in that market. And then you have the debut, pitch unseen so far, from Chase Burns, who's going to be called up by the Reds to take on the Yankees tomorrow night. Chase Burns has gone from 100-1 to 20-1 without even throwing a pitch. Should we be betting him 20-1?
Burns more so than Mizorowski. I think it's done on Mizorowski already at that price point. You know, I'm not going to jump on these favorites this early in things. And generally, I'm reluctant to get on the favorites, you know, at any point, really, but especially this early with Jacob Mizrowski. He's awesome. I don't want to be the wet blanket guy here, but he is your prototypical no command or control guy. Like, when it's on, he's electric. He's awesome. He's a lanky son of a gun like myself, 6'7", 197. I'm not quite that tall. But, you know, I see how it works with Mizrowski, but I see how it doesn't. So I'm not going to jump on that at 2-1. That's crazy. Burns at 20-1 already. I don't know. Like, I'm better on that, but I'm still probably looking down the board. I still think somebody like Dylan Cruz could come back and pop off. He's fallen down to 35-1. I'm probably still looking elsewhere. I don't think that jumping on these June favorites in Rookie of the Year stuff makes a lot of sense.
Ball, lanky as you are, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
Wes Reynolds on the other side, next.